Hi, friends. This is Dr. Jesse Gold. I'm the Chief Wellness Officer of the University of Tennessee System and an Associate Professor of Psychiatry at the University of Tennessee Health Science Center, where I see primarily healthcare workers, college students, and trainees. I am also the author of How Do You Feel? One Doctor's Search for Humanity in Medicine. I'm excited to share with you five key insights from my book, things I learned from my own experience and those of my healthcare worker patients. I hope you see yourself in them and maybe even learn a little something too. Insight one, we are not just okay or fine. Have you ever noticed how often in casual conversation you are asking people, how are you or how do you feel? And most of us just pause and answer, okay, we're fine, which by the way, aren't actually feelings. In fact, in psychiatry, we call fine feelings I'm not expressing. The desire to say okay and fine is really because we don't actually have authentic conversations on these topics and are afraid to be vulnerable. We also don't want to admit to others or even ourselves the truth when we are actually not fine. This is particularly true in healthcare workers. Long before COVID, we had burnout rates as high as 50%. This matters if you are a healthcare worker listening, so you know you're not alone, but also because burnt out physicians have lower patient satisfaction and more errors. They also leave the profession, and you want access to healthcare workers, especially the good ones, when you need them. COVID, of course, compounded this, and the CDC data shows our burnout and intent to leave both increased. We need to care about those who care for us, and that group, too, needs to feel like it is okay to focus on themselves. It isn't selfish, it's necessary. Insight two, identifying you're burned out is hard, but it isn't just a product of work. We use the term burnout colloquially to mean work was hard, but it really means our workplace made us feel emotionally exhausted, depersonalized, and have a reduced sense of personal accomplishment. All of these things can look different in different people, but for the most part, a lot of us just think these symptoms are the product of work for everyone. I often hear things from patients like, of course I'm emotionally exhausted. I listen to patients' traumas for hours. Or, of course I'm getting less done. This week was just busy. We also learn to minimize because burnout is normalized. We look at the others in our workplace and notice that they are also not sleeping or functioning. So we think, I guess this is just what I'm supposed to feel. Or, I guess this is just what work is. One study asked surgeons who were in the bottom 30% of a validated measure of well-being how they did, and most thought they were at average or above average, the bottom 30%. Yes, surgeons are a particular subculture, but I think we'd see similar results in other fields. What it means is we can look next to us and think, that person is sleeping less than I am or functioning equivalently bad to me, so I'm good. As a result, we will blow off our early warning signs like a subtle change in our schedule or overwhelm and instead wait until, like me, we're falling asleep every day after work and not knowing why. Even then, I didn't call it burnout. If it's hard for me, a burnout expert, to identify it in myself, of course it is for you too. Insight three, check in on you. Asking yourself how you're feeling sounds simple but can make a big difference. One way to make sure we are paying attention to ourselves in the equation and that we intervene or ask for help earlier is to actually purposefully check in on ourselves asking, how do I feel? It seems simple, but most of us never do it because we spend so much time asking others how they are that we forget about ourselves. Honestly, when my therapist asked me if I had ever asked myself that question, I realized the answer was no. Maybe it was because med school taught me to ignore my own hunger and need to go to the bathroom, or because my supervisors modeled to me that showing up at work sick, even if I need to drag an IV pole with fluids with me, was cool and the only acceptable option. With that high of bar, of course, feelings and burnout don't count unless they are interfering with work. I know from my patients, I am definitely not alone in that measurement. Knowing your own early symptoms, like for me, anger over email, can help you know when you are inching towards burnout and let you practice self-care or coping skills you like. Maybe it's mindfulness, or maybe you hate mindfulness, but whatever you do, it might actually help if you notice the subtle changes. If you wait until you are a 10 out of 10 burned out, time off is all that really helps. Insight four, how you talk to yourself matters. Combat perfectionism with self-compassion. It isn't just that we don't like to talk about feelings, it's that our culture tells us we shouldn't have them, that successful people somehow don't, and that having them at all is a weakness or a failure, which runs counter to the fact that so many of us, including me, are perfectionists. We seem to believe that if we are good at our jobs or the very best, we should not make mistakes or fail. This expectation, especially in the setting of challenging or even unrealistic goals, is maladaptive. If failure is not seen as an option, when it happens, the impact is much greater and can lead to feelings of inadequacy and ultimately depression, anxiety, and burnout. Take doctors as one example. There is a study that looks at how they view mistakes when they make them. Do they see them as self-condemnation and their fault, or self-encouragement and an experience to learn from? The study found that rates of self-condemnation were about 50% higher than workers in other fields. And when the researchers controlled for that difference in perception, the large difference in burnout between physicians and other professions was no longer seen. This doesn't mean that burnout is only the result of this mindset, but it does mean understanding perfectionism and how we view mistakes can help us all combat it. We can do that through learning to practice self-compassion. If we make a mistake, when the voice in our head says, "You're an idiot," or "You're a horrible doctor, mom, human, insert noun here," instead of believing it, we can pause and reframe our response like how you would talk to a friend. To that friend, we'd have more balanced thoughts like, "It's okay, you tried your best, and we're not perfect, none of us are." If we start catching our automatic thoughts over time, we will learn to be kinder to ourselves, which in turn can help our self-esteem and burnout. It is sometimes the little things that can make a big impact. Insight 5, sharing our stories can change culture. So many of us struggle in silence. Normalizing burnout in the workplace makes us think that if we are worried about ourselves, we are the problem, but we are not. And it's time we start talking about it that way. Vulnerability isn't easy, but to me, it's a superpower, and it is how we will change our cultures at work for the better. Not everyone has to say they have been burned out or take psychiatric medication like me, though it's nice if some people do. We just need to start saying some of the challenges and quiet parts out loud. Work-life balance is hard. Witnessing codes is emotionally traumatic, or I didn't really sleep last night. Those simple statements can make us feel supported and less alone. They will also make it easier for us to ask for help when we need it and feel less shame and guilt for doing so. So, really, truly, how do you feel? Thank you for listening, and remember, your feelings are valid and there is no good or bad answer to that question. I hope you enjoy and maybe even feel seen by the book.